Hello, I'm Elizabeth, an obsessive backyard gardener who might be able to offer you a couple of tips.
And I'm Keith, a landscape consultant, and I'm also passionate about gardening.
The one thing we both have in common is
muddy boots.
Today's Muddy Boots is all about fungi, specifically mycorrhizal fungi, the type that attaches itself to your plant's root system to help that plant in a myriad of ways that will astound you. Think about roots and clay. They don't go very well together. But if the plant whose roots are being stopped by the clay is lucky enough to host some mycorrhizal fungi mycelium or mycelium, I know big words, but we'll explain, it will thrive. Today we're going to learn about this process and the product that you can buy to get it started with Tim Lester from BioStim. I have much to learn myself, so let's get started. Hello, Tim.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome. We would love you to tell us all about this wonderful natural plant saviour, so please do.
Mycorrhizal fungi's been around for about 450 million years, so nothing new. Basically, when you look at any plant in the environment, you'll sort of see that we're not applying fertiliser, we're not applying pesticides, it seems to do it right by itself. So what's happening is there's the symbiotic relationship between fungi in the soil and the plant. The plant releases sugars, and in exchange, the fungi go out and grab nutrients and water and feed that back to the plant. So there's a natural benefit from both sides, and they expand the plant root zone by 400% or so.
Wow.
That's basically how it works.
Fantastic. Now, we sort of worked together many, many years ago when I was hardware manager for the Diggers Club, and I came across your product, and from there on, it's just been an absolute ripper. And now I've left Diggers, retired from Diggers, and I'm running my own businesses, and of course, on every one of my landscape designs, there is a set of specifications which includes your beautiful Myco Gold product. So it's just fantastic.
That's the name, Myco Gold. So please tell us about Myco Gold and why we need Myco Gold to add it to our gardens.
Well, you don't normally do. If your soils are fairly healthy and you're doing things like cover crops and you're keeping green manure crops going in your garden, the endemic fungi in the soil will live. But the problem is we sort of disturb the soils. We kill the plant life. We apply chemicals. We, don't look after the microbial life in the soil. So all Myco Gold does, or any mycorrhizal product does, is add back those fungi to help kickstart the process. So this is basically a small amount that you're adding to sort of get the process going, and it naturally grows by itself.
So. Yeah. Okay. So In your Myco Gold, there are fungal spores. Now, not every one of those fungal spores will have an association with a specific plant, will it?
No. So
that's why how many different types you got in there?
Well, we basically break it up into two main types. So there's endomycorrhizal and ectomycorrhizal. Mm-hmm. Endo is the more common one, which is 70 to 80% of plants in the world have that sort of association. And we've got a mix of four species in there to sort of grab onto the species that they like.
Yep.
And then we've got a mix of spores plus hyphae So basically spores are a hard seed.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very impervious to chemicals. And while the hyphae are sort of like plant cuttings, so they're very fast-growing and can quickly add on, grab onto plant roots and grow. So we've got a mixture of both. We've got the spores, which are the really hard-wearing type
mm-hmm.
component, plus the hyphae. And mixing them two together, we sort of get a good combination that's likely to inoculate in the soil.
Okay.
Right, so you've got endo and ecto mycorrhizal fungi, and then you've got trichoderma, and then you've got a bacteria in there as well, is there?
Yeah, so the most common one there is a very scientific, the stuff that we show, but because that's what I am. I'm not really a salesy type person, as people sort of know. I don't really get out there and sell things. I'm more into the science of it. And so you'll see these weird sort of combinations of bacteria, especially, and fungi. So, yeah, Trichoderma is naturally found in the soil, and it has a myriad of effects. A lot of it I'm not allowed to say, but because it's not registered as a pesticide. But, yeah, we've got a small amount of that, and we've got another one there called Bacillus subtilis, which is sort of like before penicillin. This is what we used to control things. So it's got other benefits as well. It's quite good for nitrogen fixation. So there's a whole myriad of things in there that I'm sort of trying to cover a whole heap of bases. Because in nature, we don't just apply, you know, there's not just one type of microbe running around the soil.
Yeah.
And it just feels a little bit disingenuous to only apply one particular microbe and think it's going to work in all conditions and all crops. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yes, so the microgold you sell commercially, so to farmers and to businesses, but our listeners the majority of them are home gardeners. So it's also available to the home gardener, and it's something that I think Keith uses in all of your, as you said before, you use in all of your designs now, you add to your designs. How should the home gardener apply it to their garden? I mean, we just to sort of assume that it's something that can be with all of those different
spores.
Thank you.
I say, yep.
How does it? Is it something that we should apply to everything? How does it work? How do we apply it?
There's myriad of ways to apply it, but for me, I'm an agronomist, which is like a agriculture. I like to do bang for your buck, so I like to start there. So, if you can get it on really early in the plant growth cycle, like in the seedling stage, you can just apply it by a watering can, mix it into a watering can and apply it over the seedling.
So put the plant in the garden and add it, or put it in the hole and add, simply.
Yeah, in the seedling trays, depending how you're sort of doing it. But if you can add it directly to the root zone, that's the second best option, or just fertigating it over the top and then watering it in with a hose. But the earlier you can get it on, the smaller the amount that you need, because it's not like everyone treats it like a chemical or a fertilizer. But this is a living organism. So if you can get it to inoculate with the plant early on, it's like you're naturally keep applying it throughout the whole plant growth cycle.
And it's not.
It's a nasty product to sell because, theoretically, I don't keep selling it to people because it can continue to grow itself.
Right. So it's only really needs to be applied in the beginning and that's it.
Yep.
The early stages.
But if you sometimes I reapply myself if there's adverse conditions. I sort of like to do that around spring when I've got, excess growth. And then that means when you see green growth on top, that means the root growth is quite fresh and abundant. Yep. So that's when I like to reapply a little bit if I think I need it.
And can it be applied to pot plants? Can it be applied to everything? Can it go?
Yeah, as long as there's a mycorrhizal association. So things that aren't compatible are things like brassicas or orchids. I get orchid growers contacting me all the time saying, "Oh, can you apply it?" And I'm saying, "Well, there's some small benefits, but I don't think it's really beneficial." So.
Okay.
I don't recommend it to them.
Okay.
Yeah, so because there's a different type of mycorrhizal fungi.
Yeah. I'll often sort of mention the fact that the mycogold is never going to work with brassicas. And when we're talking about brassicas, we're talking about broccoli, cabbages, collies, these sorts of things. So it's a real waste of time telling people to put those in, put that association with those. And the reason for that, why doesn't that work?
There's other ones as well, like blueberries as well. They've got their own special type of fungi that we don't have in the product. It's just we've done the sort of science on it and we found that they don't create these relationships with these particular species. So that's just through evolution, they're on a different tree compared to everything else.
Right.
So everything in biology sort of comes back to evolution along the rise. So they've definitely come along a different pathway, so they haven't built these associations with mycorrhizal fungi. It seems a bit weird, like it seems like a free lunch on both sides.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, why haven't they? Well, we don't exactly have the science to back this up why, but maybe one day we'll work it out.
Okay. Now, what is the percentage that we have actually of natural mycorrhizae and fungi in our soils now? Do you know is there a percentage that we've actually left with here in Australia, roughly?
It really depends. Mm-hmm. Like if you've got soil that's, like if you go out to any forest or anything like that,
yep,
you'll sort of see it working. Mm-hmm. Like you can just scratch the surface away and you'll see it abundant. And mm-hmm. you look at the trees and you're like, wow, these things are, you know, are doing
really
great.
Working,
yeah. And so in that situation, you don't really need to apply it. You've got the natural endemic fungi there working away, doing the job, but that's built over multiple generations of plant succession
mm-hmm.
to build up those mycorrhizal fungi. And what we do is we go and clear all that area. We leave it barren for X amount of years or whatever days, and then the fungi die off. And then if they left for too long, they can't actually regenerate because mm-hmm. they're not dropping spores. Those spores will actually die over time.
Right.
So if we... Yeah,
and we're spraying with chemicals and doing all those sorts of things and just killing it off even worse, even more.
Yeah, it's a real shame that mm-hmm. you know we're really going the wrong way around about going to, you know, to get good agricultural, you know, results, aren't we? Doing it that way.
Yeah,
and we're trying to turn it around, aren't we?
We are.
We're trying to turn it around.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just a matter of understanding. Like everyone just can't see microbes because they're under the soil.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like it's hidden and you can get away with it by just applying fertilizer.
Yeah.
You know, you can, soluble fertilizer will skip the need for mycorrhizal fungi because you're applying food directly to the plant. But that's a hard game to keep playing. Like, are you applying the right amount to the plant, or are you just applying it a one-off? Like a slow release sort of does a bit better job, but it's still not exactly what the plant needs.
No.
So then you're going to get runoff of nutrients, which then causes other problems.
Blooms, yep.
yep, and you're not, you know, you're not feeding the plant correctly.
Yeah.
And so then it grows weak because you've got the wrong amount of nitrogen going into the plant. Like, we don't know these things. I'm an agronomist and I don't know them. How much nitrate, nitrogen should you be putting into a plant? Like, yes, on day 26 of, you know, after planting, we don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, we're not that in tune. But mycorrhizal fungi and the plant, they're in tune. They've got $450 million of working together. They know how much they want, and they govern each other by how much sugar the plant drops down to how much the fungi selectively go out and grab those nutrients and make them available for the plant.
That is amazing.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God. Everybody, you've got to get this stuff. Myco Gold. Tim, where can they get it from? Where can the home gardener get it from?
Well, they can get it from Digger Seeds. That's, you know, where Keith used to work. They've been very good to me because I'm not very a salesy type person. So I need people
saying
like
that.
Keith.
Stop it.
Yeah, so Keith, you know, was very good to me early on and, you know, helped me out there because I'm more of a scientist. I don't really, you know, I'm not really into the sales type side and the marketing type side. And so Keith helped me out there. And
I'm going to tell them if you don't tell them. Come on. What about BioStim?
Yeah, so that's just my little website that I run. And people can go on there and purchase if they decide. But there's other people you can purchase through as well. And, you know, it's just up to you to decide if it's the right option for you.
You're not a very good salesman.
I know. I want to direct everybody to BioStim. So what is the website? It is biostim.com.au. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So people can go onto the website and they can buy it directly from there. So I think that's the easiest way as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then it's a matter of knowing how much to buy.
Yeah. That sort of thing. That's something that, you know, if we could just ascertain here now, Tim. I mean, I'm specifying, you know, so many grams per square metre, but I'm generally saying that it's to be put in the hole, you know, before the plant goes in and the plant goes on top and then it's all watered through, so forth. So what rates do you sort of suggest that it should be put out at?
Again, like, it's a very hard thing to ascertain because you've got a living product.
Mm-hmm.
So any amount is good, actually.
Yep.
Assuming you don't have adverse conditions like drought or high chemical use, because it'll grow with the plant.
Mm-hmm.
So long as you're getting it in contact with that root zone, small amounts will work. It just takes longer for it to inoculate.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of work off in nurseries about 0.38 grams per litre of, you know, but the, and then from there we sort of scale it up.
Yep.
Like to 1 gram per square metre or 5 grams per square yep. metre or in the hole, like it's half a gram.
Yep.
That's very yeah. small.
So it's a very small amount.
Yeah.
So therefore it's incredibly, you know, cost effective yeah. when you look at it that way, comparing to, you know, sticking in fertiliser and all the rest of these high-end amendment things. So that's just fantastic.
Can it be applied to lawns is what I was going to ask.
Yes. But again, when people just apply it and you need to really water it into that root zone. Mm. So that's where we need to get it activated. If you just apply it on the surface and, you know, just leave it there, the UV light will get to it and
destroy
you know,
it.
Knock out a large, yeah. Mm. So you need
water,
to,
water.
It's fine adding it to lawn, but, you know, I'm an agronomist, so, you know, I don't see much value in lawns as much as, you know, food and stuff like that. So, yeah. yes, it does drive me a little bit insane, but, yeah, I know people care about lawns, yes. But it does, it's got a beneficial
yeah.
ingredient fantastic. There, yeah.
And I've got to personally thank you and all my people that come to my talks for the free samples that you happen to send for me to share with those people, and I hope you're getting something back out of that, you know. From
oh yes, you yeah. know, you've been a great help to me. It's just very hard for me to do that side of the, you know, speaking to people and
yeah.
you know working out, you know, what they need and how it all works together for them. So, yeah, it's been a great help with your talks. I get great feedback from your talks as well. People say, oh, yeah, I spoke to Keith. And
that's
why I've always, you know, like to, yeah, support you in what you do. And I tell people all the time, you know, go to your talks and,
yep.
you know, see what you've got to offer. And
go on his account.
And I'm glad that you're doing well with your consulting business as well. Like, that's...
Yeah, that's going really, really well. As I said, you know, it's an add-on. You know, to the results of my products once they've been constructed is to ensure that I can walk away knowing that all the soil amendments have been put in there, so we're giving that garden the absolute best opportunity to absolutely thrive. You know, that's how I look at it. You know, and it's education that you know is coming from that as
yes.
well, because every one of my designs I'll go through and explain this to the clients why I've put these particular amendments into that soil profile. You know, so it's a win-win situation for everyone as far as I'm concerned.
This has been fantastic. What an amazing product. We have all got to get that product. So thank you so much, Tim. It just makes complete sense. It's been fascinating to talk to you, even though you're not a salesman. You're an agronomist, but I think you've done quite well. We appreciate your time okay. so much. And please, everyone, do go and check out biostim.com.au and look out for Myco Gold. Incredible stuff.
Thank you very much, Tim, for coming on. I've been hassling you over this, but you know it's been wonderful, and I hope that our listeners get a great you know load of enjoyment out of listening to just how beneficial this beautiful product is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, mate. Thanks
soon.
A lot.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Muddy Boots. For more information on today's podcast, please go to muddyboots.net.au and happy gardening.